We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Well, howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast, as well as the Red Dirt Aggie Show today. My name is Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014.
And I am Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie Class 2015, former Yell Leader, and Red Ass as it comes.
And we have ourselves a very special guest today. Introduce yourself.
What's going on? My name is Brian, a.k.a. the Red Dirt Aggie, fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2018. I'm super happy to be here on the Red Ass Podcast, as well as to have these guys on the Red Dirt Aggie Show, I guess, too. It's kind of like a collab effort here, right? We're rolling with it. It's a great day. I'm having a great day. It's a great time. So,
all right, so I'm going to pull these off.
Yeah, go ahead. I have such a bright like deal going on here, and I honestly hate the way my eyes look on camera, so I'm just going to keep them on. I'm going to roll with
it. Well, you have a very professional setup, by all means, and I mean, have a laptop and a mic and a really crappy Walmart light.
That's right.
I mean, if you could see the floor in here, you would think otherwise. I just have it framed very nicely. It is thrashed in this room. I need to clean it.
Well, your floor is nobody's business. Let's not get crazy.
That's right. Yeah, let's not get crazy.
Just a quick heads up for everybody watching today. There has been a little alcohol consumed before the podcast as well as during, so it's going to be a hell of a week. It is TU week. It's going to be a damn fine time. Regardless of how the game goes, win or lose, we booze. It's going to be fun. But we do want to go ahead and jump in. Roy, thoughts on last week? And I think there are a few things that we can certainly get into. A couple of interesting stats that came across my desk that were very, very interesting to me. And I would love to get into those here in a bit. But I want to hear your thoughts on the game, Roy.
The fact that you're going to give me the first shot probably means I'm going to ruin what y'all's first thought is. So my first thought on the game is, holy shit, all the balls over top. I watched the press conference, and I understand that, oddly enough, they weren't all the same problem. They were different problems. They were three distinct different problems. And this is what Mike Elko told us, right? That's a concern. So multiple problems of concern. But my biggest thing is this is what I have to lead with, and I'm sorry if I steal y'all's thunder. 8 games. 8 games without a holding penalty against us.
Yes, sir.
How in the fighting Texas Aggie hell is that literally possible? And I do know somebody did say, no, we did decline one. Okay. 8 games minus one down.
Right.
No holding penalties against us while we're on defense. I got to be honest. That's the cleanest offensive line play I've ever seen in my life. Or it's bullshit. Take your pick.
I was about to say, that is certainly something very interesting in terms of the numbers. I mean, that was something we talked about. Normally, we don't
interesting
like
interesting in terms of the numbers. Let me say it out loud.
Hit the pause button. Chill for a moment. Take a deep breath. Angry Roy can stay in the bottle for about 5 seconds. It's okay. Let me kind of explain my thought process here. Okay, so we go through basically 30. Did I count that right? 30 quarters of clean offensive line play against one of the best defensive lines in the country. Sus. I do not believe that for 1 second. And all you have to do is go back and look at videos, highlights, or otherwise. I will give you a great example of this. So we normally don't like to blame officiating ever, right? At the end of the day, there are certain things that we can do to fix and win games.
We don't blame officials per game, but come on.
That's where the issue comes in on our situation right now, right? You look at Texas A&M football and the way that the rest of this season's kind of played out, and it sure seems to be including during this game, multiple times. Not the least of which, I just want to call out to our fine sportscasters that were calling this game. You know, they went on this huge tirade about the phantom offensive pass interference that was terrible, awful, horrible call. I can't believe they missed this call. When very early on in this game, when we got intercepted, one of our guys gets offensive pass interfered clearly over the middle of the field on what would have been a caught ball had he not gotten held.
Nah.
So, you know, it's one of those things, man. What do you do with the officials? I know Josh Pate's getting after him. I know Texags is getting after him. I know everybody's getting after him. What the hell's going on with him?
Yeah, it's nuts. But the thing you have to remember here is that, one, yeah, there's bad officiating, but there were certainly some problems in the Aggies there, too. There was some missed tackles. There was a lot of missed tackles. And that was the biggest thing that I saw in that first half that caused us to get down early was all of those missed tackles. It was just nuts.
To me, it wasn't the missed tackles. It was the fact that they were egregious, over the top. What's your job as a safety?
Right.
Nobody gets behind you, right?
Yeah. The ball in front of you.
And so it's I get the missed tackles because, good Lord, we all saw the South Carolina game.
Oh, yeah.
They had like, I'm fairly certain, 4,700 yards after contact. That's what it felt like.
Certainly looked that way.
But the problem is with the Auburn game, and if you saw the Elko press conference today, the team press conference today, he talked about, man, ball's getting over the top. Like, that's one thing you can't let happen. And we'll get into it. Sorry, I put my shades back on because Shred Dirt's kicking it.
And, yes, sir.
And I'm very proud of the shades I bought a couple weeks ago.
Hell yeah.
So here we are. But what concerns me is seeing the Sips and the games they played, and I don't care who they played them against, they have players that can bust the top off the defense. So there's Sips love to play the side screen game, right?
Quinn
Ewers is averaging 5 points. He's averaging less than 6 yards per attempt past the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And yet they've lost one game. And so it's the screens that they throw out wide and nobody tackles, or they bite up on the screen and then there's just a dude that's gone. So please digest this and tell me why I should be confident about us beating Texas. And trust me, I'm your resident sunshine pumper.
Right.
But I want you to be reasonable and tell me why or what. Well, I got to be honest. Some dude came up to me at a basketball game and told me I shouldn't be so negative. But he still had his core brass on his baseball, on his PMC hat.
Nice.
And it was clear that he'd been graduating for like 7 or 8 years. And I'm like, I'm going to need you to embrace the job and world you have, if not hopefully a wife and kids. Like, don't come up to me at an Aggie basketball game and hug me, like one arm hug me, which I don't recall asking for, and telling me how Aggies need to act.
Fair enough.
You okay over there?
All good. Everything's good over here.
I'll tell you this much, Roy. If there is one thing I think we can look forward to, obviously it'll depend on if holds get called, but if we've discovered anything when it does come to Quinn Ewers, that dude does struggle under pressure. That's basically where the game's going to have to be. D-line's going to have to get home.
Is Quinn going to be playing, though? I saw some stuff saying he was going under MRI.
No, Quinn's fine. You got an MRI, his ankle's okay.
Yeah, we are.
But if your ankle requires an MRI, how okay are you? So this is one of my big things in the game that I'm curious about, because Quinn is not like an overly mobile quarterback, but he will run, right?
Sure.
Like, he'll run. Yeah. And he'll run just enough, and it pisses you off the amount that he runs. But knowing that he had to have an MRI on his ankle. All right.
Right.
And no MRI comes back and says, oh my God, you're amazing. You're 100%. So, and this is my biggest concern relative to what we can do, but I don't know if we will do, is if we can pressure him. And I know the Texas offensive line looks good, but again, against the competition we've seen, right?
Right.
So, but again, against lesser comp, like we'll call it lesser competition, our defensive line has disappeared. But if you can absolutely neutralize his running threat more than like just taking off and falling forward for a couple yards, like, what does that do? And that's really my biggest question, is the fact that he's not a running quarterback, but he's mobile enough, right? He almost reminds me of Connor Wegman. Like, he can throw everything to the sidelines. He can kind of hit deep passes, and he kind of runs. And that wasn't Connor when we saw him years ago, but multiple injuries later, Connor Wegman, my personal belief, and I could be completely wrong on this, I think he's super gun shy. So he either throws or he's done. I think he's scared because he's now at like, what, 3 injuries?
And yeah.
And so Quinn Ewers is only at 2, but he's seen, you know, Manning number 7 come in and everybody kiss his ass, even though he put up big numbers against a nobody.
I'm looking at Quinn Ewers' numbers here. This is actually a rather fascinating stat for you. So he has 32 carries on the season for negative 64 yards. He's averaging negative 2 yards a carry, which I understand. That's a lot of that goes towards sacks, obviously. Right. I get that. Right. But I think that is something to keep in mind. Whereas, let's just say on the similar, you know, flip the coin the other direction, let's look at Arch. You know, 17 carries on the season for 81 yards. Which is significantly better. You mean averaging nearly 5 yards a click right now.
All right. So, since you're the stats guy, then tell me average completion rate for Arch Manning. Like, every time he throws the ball. But the problem is when Arch comes in, nothing matters. Or it's just a throw it up and hope. Right?
Right.
We all remember Quinn Ewers, like, shell shock phase, like that meme, right? He's right next to Arch Manning, and they're both like, what just happened? Come on with it.
Well, I mean, right now he's averaging about 50% versus top 25 passing, which is, granted, 6 attempts, 3 catches. That's where it's at right now.
Yeah, that's because he's had limited action against top level opponents.
Exactly.
So we don't really know what he's capable of, but at the same time, we know he could run. We've seen him throw against lesser competition, so he could be really good. It depends on what version of him we're going to get, and then we don't really know a whole lot about him.
He's thrown 61 for 90, 67.8% over the course of the season, damn near 1,000 yards passing as the backup.
But
he's good.
You go first. Oh,
go ahead, Mr. Brad.
He's done nothing against nothing. And 3 for 6 is nothing.
And then I get that.
Look at Quinn Ewers. And then look. Oh, I hate to bring this in. But look at Marcel Reed against what we've seen, strength of schedule, a much more difficult defense to play. Defenses, if you will, to play against. And so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Arch Manning is crap. It was easy to say that when he was being recruited because he played at a 3A or 2A or whatever the crap it was.
Yeah, private institution there, but yeah. Small school.
Yeah, and the main thing is if you're A&M and you're the Aggie defense, you've got to be ready for both quarterbacks. You don't want to be like LSU and not be ready for Marcel Reed, like they were. So you've got to prepare for both quarterbacks because there's a chance that if both are healthy, that both will play. Maybe they run some kind of 2-quarterback system or something. I think that's a very real possibility.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, right? I mean, if you've got a quarterback who hypothetically has an injury, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing. Also, let's take the scope of this conversation and blow it out a little bit, right? Let's talk about the grand scope of what this situation is for Texas A&M right now. You are coming into a game where you completely control your destiny on how things play out going forward, which is a really, really good thing to be doing in week 12 of your season.
Yeah.
You know, you have a chance to win this game, proceed to move on into an SEC championship game, and if you somehow win that, your season continues in the playoff. That can happen. Will it happen? That's a big question that will be answered, obviously. Yeah. But the way things are situated right now with Texas A&M, everything's ahead of us right now. We just got to go out there and do our job.
Just keep winning, and then you don't need any help. It's a good spot to be in. You'd rather it be up to yourself than up to a bunch of other people. And we're going to leave it up to a bunch of other people, and then we ended up getting that break that we needed. You know, we dropped that game to Auburn, but some other crazy stuff happens, and look, we're kind of in the same spot as we were before the Auburn game started. Not a whole
lot. Hey, cheers. Yeah. Cheers to Oklahoma Sooners for keeping our chances alive.
And Florida as well for taking out Ole Miss, too.
What's going on, Roy? What's going through your head, man?
I want to talk about the money I lost on that bullshit Alabama-Oklahoma game. That was terrible.
Hey.
I mean, God bless them. Maybe it works for us, but you know, you lose.
I really don't care.
Well, I care about
my kids say nowadays.
Effing wallet. But
I understand that.
But
you're the one that decided to gamble it, Roy.
Well, okay, then let's take a step back. Why did we need Alabama to win? Right? Okay, so
we shouldn't.
Let's not get over that fact. And look, I love A&M more than anybody you will ever find in this rankine. All right, I do. And you guys can be like, well, maybe me. Then let's have a maroon off. I don't know. But the reality is, we're fortunate to be in this situation.
Yep.
And, bro, what the 12th man is going to do on Saturday night.
I'm excited.
I want to lean into that. I'm done talking about the scenarios. There's one scenario.
Yeah.
The scenario is you win. That's
correct.
It. So can we talk about the fact that my daughter at the LSU game, my daughter's a current student, my daughter was scared about how much the decks were bouncing. And I was like, you're going to need some moon boots because this shit's about to be a bit much.
No doubt.
Well, and I have no doubt that the current 12th man, who has no connection to the rivalry, right? And the players, if you watch the PC today, some of them get it because they grew up in it. But the reality is, they don't get it, and that's okay. I'm not gonna be like, well, they don't get it, so neither do the Texas players, right?
No, oh, yeah, you're right.
Like those of us that are old, like I'm halfway to 90, man. So I get what this is. I've been to these games since the late 80s, all right? And it means so much more to the fans than it does to the players, which I think, and this is what I want y'all to discuss, I think it's better for the football game that I care more than they do. Because mine is emotional. Theirs is getting to, starting Saturday night, it's playoff games. Win or go
right.
home.
Yeah.
Win or go home. But my emotion.
Saturday.
My emotion is a lot. So Saturday is win or go home. For me, it's win or never send a Christmas card.
Right. I mean, yeah, so here's how I kind of view this situation. Like, if you blow out Texas A&M, as far as being a student and well as this whole rivalry here, I mean, Texas A&M and Texas have absolutely been in what we would like to call a bit of a proxy war, right? You know, this has been a cold war, really, between A&M and Texas. This is a true-to-fashion cold war. Case in point, look at the facilities, right? Kyle Field gets an upgrade. DKR gets an upgrade, right? Olsen's going to get an upgrade. The Dish is going to get an upgrade.
It's childish. Friggin', it's like the most childish Cold War ever.
Right. It's like you have all that going on.
I love it.
You have a proxy war happening in baseball. You have a proxy war going on in softball. You have a proxy war in all the other sports. But the main conflict, which for this rivalry has largely been football, that has been off the table for the last 12 years. This is the time. This is the place. We are now back, and I'm so, so very excited for it. What are your thoughts, Brian? What are you thinking?
There's no venue like Kyle Field. There never is, and there never will be. And I think we have I think we're going to win on Saturday. That's my thoughts. I mean, I really think that we can. And I don't care what statistical numbers say or any stats about our probabilities of winning or any of that stuff, because you can't quantify home field advantage that you get when you play in Kyle Field.
All right. Well, hey, Roy. Go ahead.
I think you can quantify home field advantage at Kyle Field. I don't think anybody that's an undergrad, even masters, that like – Aggie to Aggie, right? I stayed at A&M to get another degree. I don't think anybody can quantify or understand this. That's not old. And I know that's like a back when I was a student kind of crap. And I get that. And I get that I'm class of 15, but out of high school, I'd have been class of 01. My dad's class 66. Don't bring the shit. I got it, right? My biggest thing is the LSU game was absolutely bonkers.
It was.
Yeah.
Right? And the student body, because we were concerned, right? Oh my God, they don't understand that the student polls a week early. And then we learned out that it was like, you know, survival of the fittest to pull your ticket.
Actual Hunger Games stuff going on there.
Yeah, straight up Hunger Games. Yeah, 100%.
That was nuts.
But now we know that. And the athletic, excuse me, 12 Pound Foundation said, if you have a ticket, or if you have a sports pass, you're guaranteed a ticket. It may not be a seat, but you're guaranteed a ticket. And I cannot wait to see that those numbers have sold out, because this is Texas A&M. This is SIPS. This is A&M. This is the Empire. This is the Republic, bro. And one of these days, and my daughter's a sophomore, she doesn't quite get it, right? She will get it. And I'm so thrilled that hopefully she gets it this year, this Saturday. Now, we probably need to start talking about why that can or cannot happen.
We will shortly in a bit. We got to get to picks first. Get into your picks, Roy.
Ooh.
No, the ones I blew?
Yes. Let's start with picks.
I didn't know he'd be forced to deal with this. All right.
I mean, we might as well just get him out of the way. Let's just kind of quick fire him and go.
Yeah, BYU, Arizona State. We both called Arizona State. Turns out, shit, we're smarter than shit.
Yeah, yeah. Way to go, Arizona State.
Number 17 on the road at Kansas. I told you, watch out for KU rolling, rock chalk. So
yes.
I got that one right.
Yeah, I picked Colorado because I was thinking maybe Kansas was going to run out a little steam. I was hoping for Kansas. Obviously, they didn't win. Here we are.
Oh, no, he said, like, I would love for Kansas to win, but how can you pick against Colorado? And then, it's me.
I'm glad they did.
We quoted Vandy. Vandy, LSU, that was blah.
Yeah, it just kind of was a whatever game, unfortunately, for the picks.
Yeah, no, I really thought Vandy had a chance to win that game. That wasn't like a fun trying to beat anybody. With Diego Pavia running quarterback against LSU, you like your chances, right?
Oh, sure.
This is the one you picked up on me, and it was emotional. I picked Army. You picked Notre Dame. You were right. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, it was always going to be that way. I hate to say it, but it just –
No,
Notre Dame.
No, 100%.
They said never
Army
been
had,
against the Catholics.
Army had this much of a narrow path of victory.
And you're right.
And it went. So, and then we both picked the Aggies, which sucked. So you are now at 38-27. I'm at 35-30. We met each other, which is why nobody should bet with our picks.
Oh, never. Because we do like to pick on emotion at times. So,
well, I didn't pick any games for this weekend since we're having a collaboration, because I think we just need to talk about more important things than other
games. Absolutely, we should.
College football games are dumb.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. I mean, you say that, Roy. You know, we talk about, actually, and that will bring up a topic that we'll get into here in a little bit, because we did get a few questions that I'm really excited to dive into to kind of get everybody's perspective. Yeah. But, like, honestly, one question right out the gate, and I think we actually received it from a couple of different people.
I look and feel so weird because I still have my shades on, but I feel like I'm the majority.
Yeah.
No, keep them on. Keep them on.
Okay.
Makes you feel all right,
fine. Awkward. We'll throw them back on for the remainder of the podcast. So if you're watching on YouTube, we wear our sunglasses at night.
Excellent
singing.
Well, you know, if you go to Hawaii, it's hold on, California, it's shades on 6th.
Shades on 6th.
Hey, on 6/11, whatever.
Little A&M baseball flavor for you. Actually, so in regards to that statement you made before, Ruby. Whoa. Whoa. What'd you do there, Roy?
I don't know.
No, you're talking about Aggie baseball.
No, wasn't going to talk Aggie baseball, but we can mention that. We can mention that real quick. So I love the fact that Texas A&M is going to go ahead and honor the 2024 Fighting Texas Aggie baseball team at halftime with early on the field. And if those players aren't just actively doing this number and like trying to identify Schloss if he happens to be in the crowd somewhere, I'm going to love every minute of that.
Oof. Wow. So, yeah, that's awesome that they waited until the game.
and Rob mentioned this to me, and I'd seen it earlier. And he's like, oh, my God, if Schloss is there. Schloss doesn't have the dirt bags to be there.
If he's within 100 leagues of College Station this weekend, that's a very bold man.
He doesn't have a rosin bag to show up anywhere on this campus for an Aggie football game, quite frankly. And I don't care if this never goes to more than 12 people or goes to a bajillion 12 people. Schlossnagel is the most worthless.
Ted Cruz might not come either just because the curse.
Garbage, like completely, like just trash human being relative to your own team. So please, for the love of God, show up at Olsen. Please. That's like, I'm begging you. Please, you have no spine, you have no balls. It's possible you have no penis. All right, that's where I'm at with Schloss. Like, bro, there's no chance in a million years. And now that he knows, he might have been showing up because he and Sark are homies, right? He might have thought about showing up. There's no way he shows up at Kyle Field on Saturday night when we honor that Aggie baseball team, knowing that there's a chance that the cameras pan over to him, and he has such an egotistically blowing shit wagon garbage piece of garbage. Like, he just, it's all about Schloss, and then all of a sudden it can't be about Schloss, and then we're going to make, like, we're going to double down on how much we hate him because it's not about Schloss. There's no chance. I'll tell you what, I'll put $100 down to say he will not be there, and you guys match it with 25. So if he's there, I pay $100. He's there, I'm telling you.
I think I'm okay, because let's face it, Roy. There's always the possibility, but
yeah,
I'll pay you each $100 if he shows up, and if he doesn't, you pay me 25.
Okay. I'm okay, Roy. Nah, it's fine, dude.
No, I'm not done with being as pissed as I could be about what happened.
I understand, but that...
This is Texas week.
I understand. That's also baseball season. We will get to that. There will be an opportunity for this.
But what if he has the nuts to show up?
If he does, then you can say, ha-ha, I told you so.
Artificial nuts.
Hey, just like their turf. Anyway.
Oh!
All right, this boy's feeling it. All right,
talking. I'm sorry.
All right, Roy, focus up real quick. I got a question for you. So this is from my buddy James Davis. This includes you, Brian. Feel free to answer this how you feel. Now,
Brian first.
All right, so here, quick. All right, question is, since it is rivalry week across most of the nation, which rivalry is your favorite outside of A&M and Texas, or, in your case, Roy, also Army-Navy, because that would be your obvious answer. So, what, Roy, is your favorite rivalry game outside of A&M, Texas, and Army-Navy?
Oh, me first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, man. The Iron Bowl has got to be way up there.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Iron Bowl. I love the Apple Cup for no reason I can actually define. I love it. Wazoo, Washington State, like, why not? But for competitive nature, the Iron Bowl's got to be first. I hate Ohio State, so screw that. The fact that they call it the game shows you how egotistical both fan bases are. Like, screw you. It's not the game, all right? It's never been the game. It won't be the game. The greatest rivalry in college football outside of Army-Navy is, for me, it's a coin toss. It's either the Iron Bowl or it's us and the Sips.
Not fair enough. How about you?
Yeah, the rest of the college world lost out on a decade and change of it.
Well, go ahead, Brian.
Well, for me, the Iron Bowl's up there. But I would say, as a dark horse, kind of like sneaky favorite of mine that I have a guilty pleasure in watching usually, because usually these teams aren't really that good by this point in the season, or at least one of them isn't, is I really love the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a good time.
Oh, yeah.
It's been on Thanksgiving the past few years, too. So, you know, you're like recovering on the couch from all the food and booze, and you lay down and watch the Egg Bowl for a little bit, and it's usually just a terrible game. Like, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
And, like, all right. It gets heated. They hate each other just as much as, like, almost as much as Texas and A&M. Like, you see.
Oh, they absolutely do. Sure. Dude, absolutely.
Dude, the P-Leg. The P-Leg. Come
That's
on,
what
man.
My mind always goes back to, yeah.
I will say, if we're talking about rivalries, and I will absolutely respect this, not last weekend of the year, because I think Georgia Tech is fun as shit.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
The Ramblin' Wreck normally gets wrecked, but come on, man.
It's a great rivalry.
The Red River Shootout, I get it.
It's a good one.
We hate them, but come on. The Red River Shootout is...
It's a good one.
It's top-notch.
It's not rivalry weekend, though.
Now, I'm gonna give you a sleeper, and this is my favorite sleeper rivalry game.
Okay.
The Backyard Brawl.
Okay, I'll allow it. Because I was about to... If you were going to say mine, I was about to punch you.
Pitt and West Virginia is generally one of the greatest games to watch. Unfortunately, they don't show you all the arrests and fights that happen in the stands.
In the stands.
But man, that is truly one of the games where the records, for the most part, get thrown out the window. They really do.
Well, I think my favorite line in any college rivalry exists in that rivalry, which is "Eat shit, Pitt."
Yeah.
Love that. You know?
I don't think you want... I'm an older man amongst the three of this panel, and I don't think you want a lot of my rivalry sayings.
I'm sure not, but if I were to call out...
No, you want them, you just don't want to be canceled.
Absolutely not. I would rather us keep rocking and rolling.
Absolutely.
I
got a lot of things to say about Navy, and I didn't...
I didn't get to the Sips
yet.
You know...
All right, so I would say mine outside of A&M, Texas. If we're just talking, like I said, Egg Bowl's great, Iron Bowl's great. Those are great, fun rivalry games, no doubt about that, as is Georgia Tech.
And no Army-Navy.
Yeah, it's like Army-Navy's awesome, too.
Army-Navy would probably be mine.
But it wasn't allowed.
But I know that wasn't allowed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And which, because we're going to talk a lot about Army-Navy coming up, because that will be coming up in a couple weeks. But if I had to pick one... He just disappeared on me. We'll see if he comes back.
He didn't like you shutting him up.
I'm having computer problems. Hold on.
No, you're golden, dude. Like I said, you keep rocking and rolling. You just listen in. So Kansas State, Iowa State, a.k.a. Farmageddon, is probably a really fun rivalry game for me just because it is a lot this of good back and forth. Oh, yeah, this year's ought to be really good. It's in Ames. Iowa State has a chance to win and potentially get themselves into the Big 12 title game if they pull that game off. So that's, I would say, especially this year, it's going to be a fun one, but I've always liked Farmageddon. I just love the name. The name's great.
Well, and I know you're somewhat of an Iowa State fan in the regards of, like, your favorite Big 12 team, right? We all have those teams that we like to root for occasionally from other conferences.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine. His name's Travis Hall, and he'll check in on us from time to time. But, you know, he's an Iowa State grad, and he lived here for many, many years, and is a great, great guy. Really, honestly, he was the big inspiration for me to kind of jump in and learn more about Iowa State sports. Obviously, Iowa State doesn't have baseball, so because of that, he was like, I'll just adopt A&M as my baseball team, which is perfect.
Yeah,
but I can adopt Iowa State as a pretty solid little pick there on the other end. Just as far as football, I mean, they're a fun team. They're a fun team to keep up with. I like Matt, you know, I like Campbell, the head coach. He's pretty great. So
I know Josh Pate has the thing with Iowa State too. He's like a little bit of an Iowa State fan also.
So it's oh yeah,
interesting to hear that. Yeah.
Go Cyclones, baby. I mean, and their mascots are, you know, it's a bird, but it's also a tornado. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking to Rob the Weatherman White, right? That's my nickname. It's like, I love weather. I love tornadoes. So I'm like, not to mention they walk onto the field with a freaking storm siren, man. I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Which probably confuses a lot of locals.
Well, actually, quick, funny story. They almost got hit by a tornado right before a game one time a while back. Just a fun little side story for you. It was like the whole deal.
It's funny because they didn't, right?
It's funny because they didn't get hit. It was just kind of a deal like, oh, crap, there's one, like, literally hitting campus right before a game.
Look, I think the greatest rivalry – And I'm thinking through this, and like Iowa State, and Wisconsin, Minnesota, like Big Bone Jug, Ball Bunyan's Axe. Yeah, there's so many great ones. But I think when Baylor plays in Lubbock,
Butt Bowl. I love the Butt Bowl, man. It's not rivalry weekend, but
yeah, Butt Bowl. I'm a total child.
Well, the Butt Bowl.
Look, the reality is. And I appreciate them like saying, what's the greatest rivalry outside of? To me, the greatest rivalry game is Army-Navy because couple of things. One, if you have family on the Army side or you have family on the Navy side, it's like you're hyper-rooting against, right?
Sure.
But I said this last week. For 51 weeks and 6 days, the Navy are my brothers and sisters in arms. But for about 3.5 hours on one Saturday, the Navy can kiss my Army ass, all right?
But, yes, sir.
But the reality is, it's America's game. The rivalry is fantastic. I think the entire country gets into it, especially now that they've moved it literally to the last weekend of football, which would have been really weird if Navy and Army had played conference championship week before that. I will tell you that wouldn't have mattered. I'm going to tell you, as an Army fan, as an Army veteran, they've been like, yeah, let's win the conference championship, sweet, but we need to win Army-Navy. And that's why that rivalry is, like, so psychotically perfect.
Like, sure.
That conference championship wouldn't have mattered near as much as winning the Army-Navy game. So that's why I think that's the best rivalry in college football. If you pull that out, you know, where do you go? Because there are so many great ones. Like,
it just comes down to region,
the Holy
right?
War 2 weeks ago. They right. call it the Holy War.
Yeah. Well, I said, it always comes down to region, Roy. It's like it always comes down to where you're from, what's relevant to you. I mean, you know, we talked about Iowa State earlier,
well,
right?
Except for Army and Navy, because that's global.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, every single other one is more regional. So, like, you know, the Cy-Hawk game, right? What's their big beef? It's corn. It's kind of hilarious. Like, they literally beef about corn all the time.
I love that.
A&M Texas, what are we beefing about? Everything under the sun, namely oil and gas in the state of Texas. But that's what we beef about. Everybody beefs.
I'll give you one guess on the Iron Bowl.
Or the eggs.
But that's what I love about it. Like, Duke, North Carolina. Man, in college football, that game matters absolute shit 99% of the year, right?
Sure.
But even as a diehard college football fan, Duke, North Carolina in basketball is one of the few basketball games that matters to me.
Oh, like, yeah. Kansas, it's a great game.
Kentucky, Duke, North, but it's Tobacco Road, man. It's Tobacco. Yeah, dude. What a great... Like, what a great name.
Yeah.
I used to live out in North Carolina, and that rivalry is absolutely nuts in basketball. I would say it's really the only thing that the only other rivalry I saw, it's a different sport, you know, in a different state, but it's the only thing I saw that rivaled what we have with Texas versus A&M, really, in the Lone Star Showdown. TU versus A&M.
Gotta no, they can be Texas. They can be Texas. You sound like UT. You said Texas.
Oh,
you did.
I never would. What did you say?
I assumed the T was lowercase. I assumed the T was lowercase. I'm good.
Yeah
it's all good.
But so, but yeah, I would say it's really the only thing. The hatred that they have for each other and the intensity of that in the sport of basketball is equivalent to what you see in these rivalries in football.
No, the best
rivalries make
local.
For the best. Yeah. It's all about playing someone, you know, down the road from you.
And that's why I don't understand, like, why there's extra hatred in Florida. Florida State, Miami, they should hate each other equally. Like if I'm in Florida, I'm not rooting for Florida State, even if it's against Miami.
Roy, they hate each other more than anybody. They all hate each other.
But you find them, right, rooting for each other.
They really don't.
Hold on. I got to bring this in a little bit slowly. So Texas and Oklahoma, right? The Red River Shootout, or whatever the hell they call it now, because we can't say shootout. We can't use
just bullets. Call it the shootout.
Yeah,
it's fine. This is not a politically correct podcast. You know,
Red River Shootout, Texas Country Fair. Like, come on, like that. That's an entire spectacle of beauty. It is what college football should be if you're dumb enough to play shit on a neutral site, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's perfectly split, 50-50. It's great. Mm. It's awesome. The Red River Shootout is the only day of the year that I know all the words to Boomer Sooner. And that's fine.
That's the only neutral site game that I think should exist in college football outside of maybe the playoffs.
I disagree. I think there should be three total. We've already talked about this before previously on the podcast, but one of the things we talked about was obviously Red River Shootout, world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
That needs to continue in Jacksonville.
Florida, Georgia, and Jacksonville, always.
But honestly, it will always stay there. Can we just call it that again? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. And then obviously Army Navy. I think those are the three.
Well, and I think we might have talked on this. Like, Army-Navy between Baltimore, D.C.,
right,
and NYC. Like, I get
it. You
need
a bigger stadium for that.
But no. I think every fourth year it should rotate randomly.
Sure. I think that'd be cool. Like, you start playing the game around the country. That'd be really neat.
Every fourth year, because you still got to do Baltimore, D.C. You got to do the rotation,
right?
Playing
the South somewhere, too.
Yeah.
Like in Texas, I'm going to play Cowboy Stadium, NRG, or something down in the East.
Army, area. Navy, in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, you could do it.
Think about how much military is on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
It'd be really cool to do that
Army,
way.
Army, Navy in San Antonio. Holy shit. The largest Army post is
get them in
clean.
Some historic college football venues and stuff, too. I think it'd be great. You know,
can be cool.
Sport.
Yeah. So I'm okay with that, but on the flip side, as much as I love Army-Navy being showcased to the world, or at least to the States. I think there's also an argument to be made for that every fourth year, or maybe you go, you know, New York, Baltimore, Philly, and then you have the fourth year, right?
Yeah.
Well, then maybe that fourth year's on campus.
Could be. Like I said, I think there's a lot of...
Where should college football games be played?
On campus, Roy. I think it's probably good to go ahead and move on to our next question so we just keep this thing rolling. Next question I had was, your best memory of the Lone Star Showdown that you have, if you've got one. And now, there's another question. This one will be kind of more directed towards you, Brian, but we'll get into that one in a minute.
Sure.
So your best memory of the Lone Star Showdown.
So the worst part is I can't tell you the year. I just remember it. So I was in the horseshoe just outside of the decks, right? Like I was in the northeast, just maybe like two rows. Like it was just the horseshoe. And, you know, back in the day when you played Texas, if you won, you went to the Cotton Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember it was like lightly raining and it was kind of miserable. It isn't super cold, but it was an okay night. And we went up, and cotton balls started coming off. It looked like it was snowing. It wasn't. It was nowhere near cold enough to be snowing. But back in the day, when you beat Texas to win the Southwest Conference, or you knew you had a chance to do so, everybody went to Walgreens, CVS, Kroger, whatever the hell was there back in the day, like Randall's, right? And they bought a bag of cotton balls, and it started from the third deck, and it came down like snow. They were just cotton balls. But when you knew you'd beat Texas, that was it, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go into bonfire memories.
It's all good.
I'll stick with the game. But I remember it was raining enough for the cotton balls to, like, stick on you. Just enough, right? Like, missed
just him. Enough to be annoying.
Man, it was stupidly miserable. You know, I'd been to bonfire the night before. There was something about beating Texas that back in the days of the Southwest Conference, it was one or the other, honestly. Especially once Arkansas left for the SEC, all we had was to beat Texas to go to the Cotton Bowl and hope that, you know, you could rank high. Like, again, that's just full-blown AP voters, no bowls that mattered more or less. But getting to the Cotton Bowl gave you a chance.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll give you one bonfire memory in the sense that there's nothing like watching it burn. You burn it to build it again. God bless it. I love, absolutely love bonfire. And I understand that it will never be back on campus. I get that.
But. So,
how about you, Brian?
Interrupt you there. Well, I had a question for Roy regarding bonfire. Are they going to burn it this year? I know there was a burn ban, and they were going to do it off campus.
You'd have to talk to Dion McInnes, who is a fantastic human being. Right now, I don't know where it's at, to be quite honest. Like, what's weird is, as a homeowner here, like, and I just tried to seed and water and fertilize my yard. I know where we're at water-wise. Oddly enough, I have an old enough home to where if we don't get enough water, my door will actually start to jam because of the clay that's underneath all the foundations sinks and shrinks, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know, man. Dion McInnes is MCI NNIS is your best bet for information. He's in charge of student bonfire. God bless. I hope it burns. But it's dry, man. It's tough.
Yeah, it's really dry.
It's tough right now. So I hope it burns, but if it doesn't mean we're not going to beat the hell out of the Sips.
Well, and it'll burn eventually. Like, that's the beauty of it. It always burns.
You burn it not to burn it. You burn it so you can build it again.
Exactly.
How about you, Brian? What's a good memory for you, buddy?
Well, so, unfortunately, I didn't grow up in the rivalry. I'm a first generation Aggie. This is going to be my first time.
How dare you?
There this weekend. Hey, I can't change how I was raised. Okay?
He's here now, man.
I'm here now. No, but from the moment I visited A&M, I knew it was where I wanted to go. You know, as a little kid, I grew up in the time that that school over there in Austin, TU, was, you know, they had Vince Young and they were winning national championships and stuff. So as a little kid, I'm ashamed to admit it, I won at one time rooted for the Sips.
What little town did you grow up in?
What little town did I grow up in? Houston. The Houston area. So not exactly a little town.
H-Town.
But
That's it. What are you doing, Roy? What you got to do?
I'm trying to, censor myself. It's the mother... Time, mother... Gary, let's go! Let's go! Where are you from the time?
Well, how about you go take your time real quick. We're just gonna keep on rolling here.
Time so with an N.
I get where this is.
Tine.
Yeah, H-Tine, O-I-Dine, like they say, right? Well,
H-Tine.
I was born up north of Dallas, and then I lived in North Carolina when I was younger, and then we moved back to Texas about the time I was in middle school. But I grew up about an hour north of Houston in Spring, Texas, and like the Spring Klein area. And now I'm in Magnolia.
Oh, that's where he's from. That's where Roy's from.
Are we about to become best friends?
Yes. I think we already are, Roy.
What high school did you go to?
Klein Collins.
Oh yeah, that didn't exist when I was in school. Fair enough.
So did you go to Klein?
Klein.
Yeah, my mom went to Klein.
And I hate to be like that dude because we hate Ohio State, right? We all do.
Yeah, and that's the fight song for Klein Collins. But, yeah, they had Ohio State.
But it's that's your fault. It's the Klein High School. The Klein
High School. The Klein High School.
The oh god. Hey, well,
It was the first.
Hey, hey, Roy, you can't trademark that. Ohio State already did. Sorry about you.
Here's what I'll tell you, though. And look, I don't think Brian gets – well, he might actually –
No, you got to let me finish, though, too.
Oh, no. I've got to get this out before you finish. Klein Oak, Klein Forest, right? Those were the three that – like, those are the three OGs, right?
Sure.
And then you had Klein Collins and Klein Kane, right?
Well, yeah, Klein Kane didn't exist when I was there. That was after my time.
God, you're so old. but Klein Oak and Klein Forest. Those are the OGs, right?
Sure.
So Klein Collins, come on. Klein Oak, Klein Forest, Klein Pine. Like, they said it on a T for them. And you call it Klein Collins?
I don't know. Klein
All right, anyway, sorry. Collins.
Yeah, you're good. Get
hey, grew up out of Houston.
No. Yeah, but yeah, we got a KC, you know. But anyway, yeah, so I, you know, grew up when I was younger. I thought I was going to want to go to Texas. But about my sophomore, junior year of high school, I really started kind of, you know, I visited A&M, and I didn't even have to visit Austin because I knew I was like, nah, this is where I want to go.
Yeah,
right. It was an easy choice, and just fell in love from the start. Then, you know, of course, I went to fish camp, and I was like all in after that. So
you're in.
I was all a counselor as well later on with that too. So you know, I was real appreciative of fish camp. But when it comes to the rivalry, I don't have a whole lot of memories from it from the football side of things because of that. But baseball though. While I was in school,
plenty
there,
of them.
You know, I'm class of 18, so I graduated in 19, so I had plenty of baseball ones. You know, the Michael Barish walk off is pretty memorable.
One of my all time favorites.
And but the one of my favorite one I think was that I don't remember what year it was, but TU had a pitcher named Mateo, and the end
2018.
Okay. So you remember the entire student section was like Mateo, and it's just the energy at that game was nuts, and the student section was full within about 2 minutes of the general admission was full of the seats.
Oh yeah,
because that was before they had all of those extra bleachers out there, you know, right. Because you were at all the games, Mr. Captain America, but
I don't know. I don't go by that name no more. I'm old and I'm graduated.
Brian, we're gonna have to come back to this wildly in the off season to talk about our stupid projections for Olsen renovations.
Oh yeah, like how much is it gonna cost?
That's totally what's it gonna look like?
Yeah, I don't.
I care what it looks like. I don't care what it costs.
Yeah, but love that answer, by the way. That's a great answer because I actually uploaded a video on YouTube of that first inning because yeah. I was like, I said 12th man versus Texas because that's essentially what the whole situation was. The 12th man absolutely affected what was going on in the game there. It was incredible.
They really did, and it's you know, you don't see that as much in base. You do there. But around the country in baseball, especially college baseball, you don't see that anywhere
else. No, you're absolutely right.
Nothing is Olsen and nothing is Kyle.
Right.
Absolutely.
So I will throw in my answers. Basically, my favorite memory football-wise goes back, I would say, honestly, 2009 and 2010. You know, that's when I was first really getting in. I really didn't know much about A&M before I really got down here in 2008 to start touring colleges, became really, you know, got really into A&M. Initially was thinking about going to Oklahoma, ironically, because I wanted to go do meteorology there, right? We've talked about that before. But I ended up obviously going to A&M. My cousin Melissa, she invited me down for Thanksgiving 09. Hey, come stay at the house. I got a ticket for you in the student section. We're going to go sit and watch we're going to go stand and watch the A&M game against Texas. I was like, okay, cool. So we're sitting like underneath the overhang of the third deck on the second deck, so like literally back row. And we were looking straight down on the field. Third play from scrimmage, Jeff Fuller catches like an 80-yard touchdown pass, and the student section lost their freaking minds, man. I mean, I've seen just whatever liquid was available was in the air. People are high-fiving, head-butting each other. I mean, losing their minds. And I was like, ooh, that was the thing that really got me into A&M right out the gate was that play and seeing the energy of the building. Yeah. Now, if I had to pick like a favorite football memory, I got to go like 2010, the next season when we went to Austin. Won that game. Von Miller intercepting the game, you know, intercepting them right towards the end of the game, securing it. Watching all the Texas fans slowly kind of trudge out of the stadium because they were missing a bowl game for the first time in forever. And I was like, oh, sucks to be you. Oh, it was a darn shame. It was a great moment. Now, I will go ahead and bounce off of you exactly what you said. Talk about baseball for a minute. I completely agree. Like 2018, that was a phenomenal weekend. I love that game. It was so much fun. Man, when we reinstated the rivalry in 2016 full-time and we started doing those, you know, those Tuesdays, and the first one was at home, we're up big. You know, we're up like 5-0 or whatever, right? And all of a sudden, Texas starts creeping in there, top of the ninth. They tie the game. We're like, golly. Yes. You know, it's like, you know, it's like football. You know, it's like, oh, we're blowing another lead because this was around that time when we were still doing a lot of that crap.
Unlikely hero, too, that day.
Michael Barish comes up first at bat. Texas player has a chance to catch a foul ball, misses it. One more pitch, next pitch, gone. Out of the ballpark, rounds the bases. Not to mention the tussle that took place afterwards. And it was – you're talking about rivalry moments. Man, hearing that whole stadium chanting SEC, SEC, flashing horns down, getting in faces, it was the ultimate vindicating moment at that time. Obviously, there's more to come, hopefully, but that was a big one.
Michael Barish, he went out and parked that.
Oh, yeah. Like,
that wasn't a doubt. I was like, no, it's gone. It's like,
over the wreck.
And I
love you, Iron Mike.
I hate to use Moneyball, but you can hear the crack of the bat.
It's one of those.
It was just it wasn't expected either. You know, Michael Barish was a solid hitter. He was, you know, a good base runner, but he wasn't really a power hitter either. And that's why it was just like, you're like, oh man, I don't know. And then he gets up.
Just get on base.
Boom!
Right?
And you're like, okay, that works. Like, oh my God.
I mean, we were in full rally mode, had the backwards ball cap, sunglasses were on, and all of a sudden we were all like just
Like, that'll do it.
Losing our minds because it was that game for us. But see, that's the kind of energy I want to see out of the student section going into this Texas game. Yeah. Yes, sir, Roy.
Do you honestly think you won't see that energy?
Oh, we will see that energy. Everybody knows.
My daughter told me at the LSU game the deck was bouncing so much she was concerned. And I know we talked about this, but I'm like, that's what they're made to do. You know,
yeah, it's built that way.
Yeah, trust me on this one.
They've reinforced it several times, too.
I'm gonna tell you right now that LSU crowd will have nothing on what we're going to see Saturday night.
Right.
And so get ready for the bouncing, man, because that's going to happen.
Bounce house coming to Kyle Field.
Yeah. Ooh. Which is one of the coolest names for a stadium ever.
Love that. Yeah, Bounce House.
Bounce House, yeah.
They just leaned into it. They're like, we're not great at, you know, I mean, we're great at a lot of things, but stability's not one of them.
No.
Now, sustainability and stability are two different things. They're like, just bounce away.
Yeah. All right, so I did have one other question. Now, I'm kind of gearing this one more towards Brian, but if you want to throw in some, you can. This is all from Jive Coach G, our buddy. He did ask the question about the questions from the Lone Star Showdown. He also asked a second question, which was rank Texas country music Aggies from best to least best. He said not worst. He's saying rank your A&M artists.
Let's make this easy.
And I will tell you this right out the gate, Brian. You're not going to hurt my heart one way or the other because you know where I stand.
Just do a top three because there's
give us three.
I'm not big on ranking people.
Yeah,
but
yeah, no. Give us your top three in no order. Give us our top three in no order, Aggie artists of all time.
Well, You got to give me a minute here. I mean, you know, Robert O'Keefe's obviously got to be up there somewhere, probably at the top.
Absolutely.
Beyond that, I think you've got a few options for, like, you've got Robert O'Keefe, you've got Lyle Lovett, you've got, why am I drawing a blank on his name? The obvious one, the other obvious
Roger
one.
Krager?
Yes, thank you. That's it was like the other R obvious one, but I'm drawing a blank here. Good thing there's editing, right? We'll just and it'll say Roger Krager.
Oh, no.
We'll jump right to that.
Oh, we don't edit on this thing. We just keep rolling, brother.
Oh, don't worry. I'll edit mine. Y'all have to edit yours. You made me look dumb on yours.
It'll be good.
No, but we're good. Yeah, so I'd probably have to go I'll say Lyle Lovett second and Roger Krager third. Then I guess those are the top three that I think of. You know, like traditionally, I think there's a lot of younger ones that are talented too that are coming up. But it's those are the ones that have the legacy. You know, that right
they
now
got a lot of work to do.
Too.
Yeah, the younger ones just got a lot of work to do, and that's okay.
Well,
yeah, we do.
You know, by the time they're yeah, and Rob, you know, you're pretty good too yourself. Okay?
Thanks, man. I try. You know, I'm out here just living an honest life.
He's no bad.
How's it been, by the way, man? You know, with Carson Jeffrey and all those guys, and getting to play music and stuff pretty regularly now, right? Like y'all are out playing every weekend and stuff, right?
I'm gonna cut in before you talk, because the amount of people that I have introduced to Carson Jeffrey, I'm very proud of, because I don't introduce things because my buddy's in the band. I believe in Carson Jeffrey. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, man. I really do appreciate that.
It's just because we do a podcast together. I really, like, if I don't like music, I'll tell you.
Oh, I know you will, because you have.
Yeah. You sent me shit, and I was like, yeah, that was really good. And that one was kind of,
I don't like that one. Yeah. I mean, and it's even amongst our newer music, which I'm excited about all that. We'll get into that in a minute. But man... You know, with playing with Carson, it's been great. I mean, I love the guy. He is the most down-to-earth, true cowboy you will meet in your freaking life. That dude lives his life. He doesn't need a whole lot of frills. He's not the big money guy. He's not the TikTok guy. He's Carson freaking Jeffrey. He's just a freaking cowboy, man. He hates having to do the social media stuff. We have to force him to do it, you know?
Yeah, because you kind of have to nowadays.
You have to, but, you know, where we're at, I mean, I love the guy. I love working with him. The studio has been so much fun getting to record this last album. We're actually hitting the studio again starting early next year. Just recording the next round of singles that are going to come out after the record. Like, we're just – Carson wants to keep us moving and keep us rocking and rolling, which has been great. We've had a couple of personnel changes this year. I talked to – you know, we've talked about it on the podcast already, but with – in regards to y'all.
Red-ass podcast.
Red-ass podcast. for our listeners on the Red Dirt Aggie show, so we've had a couple of personnel changes. So Chase Chancellor, our drummer, he is out. He had to go take care of family stuff. His dad passed away. It was a big deal. So we're very supportive of him taking care of family stuff. We're a family first band. We support that. Secondly, Ryan Rogers, just creative differences. He just wasn't kind of fitting what we were looking for, and he wasn't really finding a lot of fulfillment in what we were trying to do with him. So he opted to go take advantage of a new gig. We have hired a new drummer, Mason Waller, who's been with Gracie York. He's a phenomenal drummer. He's been kicking so much ass for us. And we just hired Kyle Villarreal from the Teague Brothers. He has rolled in with us and has been doing it. And they're a great band, and we love them to death. We absolutely do. Kyle has come along with us, and has really been starting picking up on some live shows. And is looking forward to rolling with us, not only in studio, but on the road going into 2025. So, it's been great. It's a little slow back half of the year because Carson and Carly just had their baby.
Congrats to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They had that back in October. So it's.
They're expensive little pets.
Yeah.
Did we hear the cheering? I was a little late.
So exciting! So exciting! But it's one of those things. We're really excited for him, of course, and we're very supportive of what he's doing with his wife and keeping that. So what we've done is we've taken a lot off his plate. You know, if we're on the road and he has to show up a little later, man. We'll get there. We'll load in. We'll sound check. Take care of the stuff you got to take care of. It's fine. Yeah. We are trying to make life easy for him. And so, us as the band, things are going okay. We've got our new, like I said, new record coming out next year. We haven't really set the date yet. It's going to be springtime. But Plan of Attack is going in 25, man.
You're a team.
We are. We actually, it's weird. We're like an actual freaking team. It's incredible. Like, we've put together a unit that's ready to rock and roll in 25.
That's what you want.
And it's exactly what you want. So we're going into 25, and we're meeting up at the Tap for like 3 straight days there in January, where we're just going to slam out and do a bunch of rehearsals, a bunch of set testing, play around with
my calendar.
What's that?
Put that on my calendar. I'm free.
We might sneak you in for a session or two. It could be fun.
Put it on my calendar too. I'm gonna come too. I'm crashing it too.
So. The Plan of Attack. So, we're going to reconstruct the set from the ground up, and there's going to be a lot of new music in it, as well as a bunch of old stuff that we haven't touched in a while. So, our set that you've seen us play for the better part of the last 2 years, a lot of songs in it that we love and we support, and there's about 5-6 that are guaranteed locked. Everything else is off the table. I know what you're going to say, Roy. You want Girl You Ought To. I want it, too. What do you want to say, Roy?
I think I speak for Brian when I say that we're just happy to buy the beers from the Tap and hang out.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
That's not an open invitation. If you're listening to this podcast, I just feel like the two of us could kind of get squeezed in the door. I will drink a beer at 10 in the morning. I know it. I've seen me do it.
Oh, you won't be the only one, because I guarantee you Travis and Mason will be having at least one. Those boys, they love their beer, man. There's beer lovers in the band. I tend to stick to whiskey when it's still there. But
all I'm saying is, looks if like you got a hole in your glass. I can make promotional content for you for free.
Ooh, I do like promotional content. That's always fun. But
let's blow this down.
Yeah. So, So go ahead.
You have to bring Roy though too. That's my condition.
That's certainly something we can look into. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So Brian, what's good? What's new with you, buddy? Because we haven't talked in a while.
Well, I've had a ton of stuff going on. You know, obviously the last time we did this podcast, it was a little different. You know, I had just gotten a mic like the day before. Last time I think I had you on was my first video episode that I'd ever done. Actually, you're my first guest on video, Rob. So shout out to you for coming back on the podcast.
Happy to be here, buddy.
We started off, we used to do, I guess it's been about like 2 years now or so that I've been doing this. And I started off, it was just audio only. We were talking, it was just me really kind of solo talking about Aggie sports, recapping football games and basketball games and stuff. And then I started interviewing people. We had Rich O'Toole as our first guest, audio only. We talked to a few artists and stuff. And then I decided to launch a video aspect of it. I thought that would kind of just be better for engagement, be more entertaining. And so that's where I kind of started with YouTube. And now I'm on everything. I've partnered up with Texas Country Network, which is really exciting.
That's awesome, buddy.
And that's kind of brought forth a new level of access. We've got to go out to some music festivals. We've been backstage at some shows and just made a lot of really cool content and stuff. We got to go see Treaty Oak and College Station and hang out with them.
Hell yeah.
And we're at the TCMAs. Yes, sir. Mr. Roy.
You have motivated me to wear sunglasses.
Yeah. You got to, you know, Shade Gang, as we say.
Shade Gang's back on, but go back to Treaty Oak. Come on now.
Go back to what Treaty Oak. Well, yeah, so we got to hang out up in College Station. We were backstage for that show. Thanks to their bass player, actually hooked me up with a couple passes.
Andrew!
Yep.
Love Andrew. He's a good dude.
He's a great dude. He's a bassist from space. His handle on Instagram too. But it was that was an absolute blast. And it rained at that concert. It was nuts. We were. Mm-hmm. I timed it just right to where I got back there under the little overhang, so I didn't get wet. I was on stage back there and got to watch the whole show. And I met all the opening bands and everything as well too. Parker Ryan and
Love Parker.
Yeah, so it was a great time. Treaty Oak's one of my favorite bands out there right now in the scene, so it was just a ton of fun.
That's awesome, man. I mean, I love the fact that they got a chance to play that show, especially with the weather.
Yeah.
We were actually just down the road. We were in Huntsville that day and playing an indoor show there at the Jolly Fox, which was a great time. It was a blast. Yeah, great show. But, I did not envy anybody on that berm. In the rain,
it was nuts. I mean, it was funny because they got out there. I actually saw them. They were talking to the stage manager back there and everything, and they're kind of like, "Hey, you can either go on now, and it might rain. You know, we might have to stop and start again." They're like, "Or we can wait, delay it, and start later." And they're like, "Let's just try to go now. We're ready to go.
Send
now. They're all like revved up and ready to go." So they
send it.
They went out there and it started raining. And Andrew just goes like this and starts like dancing in the rain. And they're like, "We're gonna play the effing show!" Like all fired up. And they swapped instruments, I guess, to their not nice instruments, which still look like way more than what I could afford. And they start just jamming out. And it was, you know, they didn't miss a beat. And crowd had a good time, like they always do at those shows. So,
oh, no doubt,
looked like a bunch of fun, but.
Yeah, absolutely did, man. Well, I'm glad you're doing well. I'm glad everything else has been going all right for all of us at this point. I mean, for the love of God, it is Texas week. For the love of God, people, what are we doing here?
Yeah, you know,
show some anger.
I beat the hell out of TU. You know,
yes,
I'm ready. It's my.
You know what? No, screw that. We all need to sit down and we all get it on record. What's your prediction?
All right. Let's get predictions in.
We're going to win. That's my prediction. I don't know by how much. I don't know how. I just know we're going to win. Game over. No, I mean, do we have
give
to
give him a number?
You want to score?
Yeah, give him a number.
Yeah, look, we're not holding it to you. I'm not going to, like, slash your tires.
41-38 Aggs.
I'm sorry?
41-38 Aggies.
I thought he said 51. I was like,
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know where I came up with that number. That seems like a really high number now that I said it, but I already said it, so I think I have to stick to it.
Texas defense is scripted, and they can score.
They can. Absolutely, they can. What's your prediction, Roy?
11 billion to nothing, because I hate the Sips, but were I to put money nothing. On this, so I believe they open it at 7.5-point favorites, right?
They are currently at 6 points.
Yeah. Well, money moves lines.
Actually, it's actually moved again. It opened 5.5 to Texas. It's moved up to 6.
Don't bet on the Aggies.
Well, never
bet
on the spread. Don't ever bet the spread.
Well, never bet your heart. I've been gambling since I was in high school, and the one thing I learned is, if I bet against A&M when I lose, that means they win. So it's like hedging your emotional bet.
Right.
I don't know.
Which is why I quit betting on the Aggies for the rest of my entire life. Once a year I go to Vegas or I go to Reno and I put down $100 on them to win the national championship. I'm like, what's a C-note, right?
I got one of those bets out right now.
So. I've got... You know what? I think Quinn Ewers' ankle injury is a bit of an issue, considering he already can't hit the downfield pass.
Sure.
I think Texas' offensive line has looked really good against absolutely nobody. It's easy to pick Texas, but man, this is a Kyle and Texas. SEC schedule has been an absolute yoke. And Lord
Indeed
knows much of the Aggs. I'm just basically drawing this out to tell you how many points the Aggs are going to win by.
Yeah, give us your points.
I've got like a 28-24.
That's fair.
Okay, that's fair.
I'll go...
Three turnovers for the Sips. So we're on turnover battle, +3.
+3 to turnover.
So we're going to take advantage of a short field off those turnovers and get those points.
Probably. Yeah. I fully anticipate Texas potentially outgaining us. I fully anticipate Texas doing a lot of things statistically that are going to make A&M look not that great. I see if we do win this game, it's going to come down to basically how much the environment impacts. Can we get after Quinn? Can we really assert our dominance against that O-line and not allow the big passes over the top. I think one or two of those get through, they become scores. It's going to be what it's going to be. A&M wins this football game 31-28, last-minute field goal from Randy Bond, just because why the hell not? Also, if you're watching this, Justin Tucker, I hate you, and I hope that you step on a Lego tomorrow morning.
Also, you know what? Just real quick before we finish this up, 75-73 would be great.
That would be incredible. I'd be okay with it.
With 16 overtimes.
What have we said all year, Rob? Chaos.
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 This is the chaos college football season, right up there with 07. I want that.
Yeah, it's
what we,
it really,
what we really
is.
Need is about a 42-10 to where they don't even, like, we get to the SEC championship and beat them so bad that the committee's like, oh, they really didn't play anybody, and whoever they played, they lost to bad.
Get them out.
We need to beat them by the same margin that Georgia beat them.
If that happens, I'd be incredible. Don't get me wrong. I'd be way okay with that.
I'll be streaking.
Oh, as you should. Go streaking. Just don't film it because we don't need that kind of press on the internet. Or maybe we do. It could blow up this podcast. We don't know.
You know, follow Red Ass Podcast on your ass cheeks.
Yes. Oh, dude, just paint it on there, dude. Just paint it on there.
Paint it maroon, and why didn't white paint?
Bro, if we're able to beat the Sips as much as, like, not just by the same, you know, margin, but in the same way, with a really bad Carson Beck, I will not be in the street. I will not be on a podcast. I will be shit texting my relatives that are all Sips.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
They were like, hey, you want to have a Christmas dinner together? I'm like, no.
No. All right.
I don't care if we win or lose. It's not happening.
Not happening.
I care too much about our relationship for that to happen.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we really do appreciate y'all so much for catching this combo podcast with our buddy over here with the Red Dirt Aggie Show, man. Be sure to follow. Be sure to go follow Red Dirt Aggie Show. For the love of God, go do that. Be sure to follow us, too.
Yeah, so if you're watching on my stuff, follow them. If you're watching on their stuff, follow me. If you already follow all of us, that's even better. Tell some other people to follow us.
Right. So I'm Rob the Slapper on both Instagram as well as Twitter. Roy is Roy May Jr. on Instagram, Roy May 15. And then, of course, we have the Red Dirt Aggie Show on both.
Yeah, so we Red Dirt Aggie Show on everything.
Absolutely, guys. We thank you so much for checking out this podcast today. We loved it. Had so much fun. Gig'em beat the ever-living hell out of TU. Let's go out there and get us a win.
Have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Please, by all means. Hey, yeah.
Be
have
safe.
Have a safe Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving with friends, family, or those you care to spend time with. And beat the fighting Texas Aggie bullshit out of the Sips.
Gig'em. Take care.